I'm here at this year's Africa Hub at this year's European Film Market in Berlinale, and I have the pleasure to have Katharina Weingartner with me, who is the director of The Fever, a feature documentary film which recently premiered at DOC Leipzig. Hello, Katharina.
Hello, Paul. Hello, Halle and Leipzig.
So, it's nice to have you here. It would be really great to hear a bit about your project, The Fever. Maybe you can tell us a bit what this project is about, how you shot it, and what is actually the whole theme about.
Well, it's a 90-minute feature documentary, and it was actually a trilateral Swiss-German-Austrian co-production, nicely funded. I interviewed about 150 malaria specialists worldwide, mostly white males, scientists, because tropical medicine tends to be a very white and male industry. And during my research, which took about a year, which started in like 5 years ago, I realized that what we were not even looking at or talking about is the fact that one child per minute dies in sub-Saharan Africa. But none of the people I interviewed were from there or had any connection to this place or had anything to do with this genocide, basically. So my whole team switched gears and we decided, no, we have to talk about malaria now, what's happening today, not tropical medicine during the Vietnam War or the catastrophe of mefloquine, the medicine, the malaria medicine invented by the Americans for the American army and their wars. But we have to talk about what's happening on the ground. So we did research in East Africa and we found an herb, and people who treat malaria with a simple herb called Artemisia annua. And so from then on, we were on this path. We decided we need to look at this local, simple, cheap solution and why it is not available to African families. And that's what The Fever is about.
So the film also addresses pretty much a global topic, which is the pharma industry, who is trying to pretty much propose solution, or who is pushing solutions onto the African continent. And on the other hand, it's a fight of this grassroots movement of people who find their own solutions and say, wait a moment, we can help ourselves. So maybe you can tell us a bit more how this pretty much fight is portrayed in your film, and also what came up in terms of agenda for you as a filmmaker and also as a production company now for The Fever.
Yes. First of all, malaria is a huge business, which when I started this research, I had no idea about this. But Coartem, the malaria medicine that's made by Novartis, a Swiss corporation, is their biggest seller. And for a continent like Africa, that's a lot of money. So we looked at, as you know, as a filmmaker, you learn follow the money as a strategy. You always have to look who's making the profit. And so we followed that and we found that the money pretty much goes to Switzerland. And also the WHO is in Switzerland. And the WHO and the Novartis had a 10-year agreement that Novartis, which was only one of 10 bidders for this malaria market, with the most expensive medicine, $1 per treatment, unpayable for most families in the rural areas. And they got a 10-year exclusive contract from the WHO to sell the product on the African market. That alone to me was a scandal, and it's very unknown that this things like this are being done. So that was one of our departure points. But then we found that what we really wanted to talk about is alternatives to this business approach. And we found a very, very interesting woman in Uganda, Rehema Namyalo. She's a trained organic farmer, but also a herbalist by tradition, but also by training. So she's like in many generations in her family, the women were herbalists, but she also had an official training at the university. And she has a small clinic where she treats all kinds of things with herbs, not just malaria, but everything for the people in her village. And she's an extremely charismatic, strong, smart woman, and we put her in the center of our film. And then also a biologist, a professor from Nairobi University, and a pharmacologist from Uganda who did clinical research on this herb in a big setting in a flower farm in Uganda. So those are our three main protagonists. And the idea was always local solutions for local problems was our focus. So we basically shifted the focused to telling an African story. And the minute we decided that, we ran into huge problems with our German production company and our Swiss production company, who said they are not interested in this kind of an approach. The German producer, who's a very well-known figure in the Berlinale, he always is a big star, but he said to us, if by minute 33 you don't have a white person in your film, you will lose the German audience. He suggested we take a German tourist who has malaria, who is in a German clinic, treated by German experts, and to present this to the German audience, because of course they need to know what they take when they go on holiday there. That was his approach, which is a very TV approach, you know, which as a filmmaker who's doing a cinema, I was not interested in this at all. So we basically, you know, they dropped our project, which is to this day a miracle to me. How can you drop a project that is paid by with German taxpayers' money? How can you just do that? I still have a question about that, and I don't get an answer from anybody about this. And Switzerland was the same. In Switzerland, the Swiss National Television, who also co-financed our project, said that they cannot show this film on Swiss television because Novartis will sue them. So that's basically the situation I've been in for the last 3 years. They tried to prevent our film to come to the German or Swiss market, to go to the theaters here, or to go to any festivals. And we had to hire a lawyer to get all that problems out of the way. We are broke now. They owe us money. They never paid. We basically organized most of the shoots in East Africa. We went there 3 times to shoot. We organized most of this of ourselves because they didn't. And it was an interesting situation, but I learned a lot. And I think we have a great result. The 3 screenings we had in Leipzig were fantastic. I got a lot of emails afterwards asking why this film was not in the competition. I think the reason was that it's an African film. I'm not an African filmmaker, but the film is switching perspectives. It's very rare that critical documentaries who come with funding from the global north go to the global south and let the people speak for themselves. I think that is, I hardly ever see that. And I think also our festivals and our distribution systems and our whole film markets are not really ready for this kind of film. But I think it's about time that we shut up and we let other people speak. I think that's the only solution we have.
It's very interesting to hear how you came up with the project and how the journey went. So now the journey does the next step, because here at the Africa Hub you're going to do a presentation on Monday, which is called Building Infrastructures for Social Impact Movies on the African Continent. So what I hear or feel from our conversations we had before is that you want to take this approach of saying local solutions for local problems also to the next step, to say gain local visibility, that you actually want to bring this film to those who are dealing with these challenges and with these problems on a daily basis. Maybe you can tell us about this a bit, because that seems to be very unusual for a film which is produced from the global north.
Yes, from the beginning I thought I was in a kind of a, how can I say, I mean, just being in Uganda and in Kenya, I realized that the people I was filming there will never have a chance to even see what I'm doing, what we are doing there. And I always thought that it was a total discrepancy that we Europeans, we get the funding for these exciting projects and we go to African countries, we film either kids in trash or kids dying in hospitals, or we film lions, or we film lions eating zebras, or we film either we film horror or drama or tragedy, but we never film academics or people who are brilliant and have solutions that we haven't even thought about yet, you know, like we take our images, take them back to our safe editing rooms and make these beautiful films. I mean, Austria is a country that finances a lot of these films. We have a whole tradition of white men going to Africa to do their adventures, take their cameras and bring back the images and make a career out of it. And I didn't want to be a part of this of this game, you know. I mean, I got 1.2 million euros to make this film, and I wanted that the people I'm filming there also get to see themselves on screen. Otherwise, for me, it doesn't make sense. And I mean, of course, it's also important that the Swiss, who make so much profits with Novartis, see what their golden facade is really, what's behind their golden facade, and how they are financing their whole system. But I think it's even more important, because we are so solution-orientated in this film, that the people who have this very simple solution in front of their doorstep, basically, get a chance to see it. So we talked to the GITS, the German Development Society, whatever it's called, about doing a website, because I thought, okay, all these people are going to internet cafes, so if we have a web version of the film, they can access small parts of the film and also get the information and stuff. When the GITS realized that we are so critical about the GITS Foundation and about what they are doing and how profit-oriented their approach is, because Bill Gates stands behind most of the big problems we're facing in this pharmaceutical world today, they said no. Then we approached the German Bildungsministerium, and they had a problem that I wanted the web production to be that the money goes half to Nairobi and half to Berlin, and that it's two companies who work together on this. Not possible. So we basically abandoned the whole project with the website, and we thought about ways to bring the film together with the seed of the plant to the people. And then we started a campaign called Fight the Fever. So our slogan is now Plant the Seed, Fight the Fever, and we're trying to organize with fundraising that we actually can bring the film to the people in schools, in villages, in universities, in all these malaria areas. And here at Africa Hub, I've already seen two presentations, people who are doing this same thing in South Africa. Or, I mean, there are a lot of people here who are actually already doing all of this. So I think it's really now time that we cooperate, and we filmmakers from the north make the way for people in the global south whose images we have been taking for hundreds of years home, you know, whose art we stole, whose images we stole, to bring these things back to them, and to also leave infrastructure there. Because that's another thing I'm really criticizing, that we are, a person like me gets our whole crew, we get 1.2 million euros to make a film like that. And what do we leave in these countries where we're filming? We are not allowed to hire anybody there. We are not allowed to rent equipment there. We have to spend all of our tax money that we get from the different countries in the same countries, so that the infrastructure is built there. So I have a sound guy from Switzerland, a camera woman from Germany, and the post-production is in Vienna. And so this way, you know, infrastructure gets built. And so many people like me do this in African countries, but they don't think about this for a second, what that does. And that's exactly what Novartis does, you know. They get the raw material for the medicine in China, bring it to New York, produce the medicine in New York, then it gets shipped to Basel, and in Basel they package it and send it to Africa. So everybody makes a few cents off of the medicine. And we filmmakers do exactly the same. We get the money from Germany, Switzerland, Austria. We hire the crew here, they all pay taxes here, build film infrastructure here. We all fly to East Africa three times. Three times we have to pay taxes to bring our equipment to these countries, so the government gets money, the Ugandan or Kenyan government gets money. Three times we ship all the equipment back, and normally I would now have the film here at the festivals. I'm going to Mexico, I'm going to Oslo tomorrow, I travel with this film, my name gets out there, I have a little bit of a career, right? And I have a film start in Germany, Austria, Switzerland, hopefully in some other countries too. I get to talk to people like you about how great I am and how I survived malaria in Africa, you know. And this is how colonialism works. So I'm a part of this colonial system, and I'm saying, no, it's enough, we have to stop this. So my next project, I already talked to the Austrian film, the director of the Austrian film funds understands where I'm coming from, and he thinks it's time that the also the film industry is making a change. It cannot go on like this. And yeah, that's why I'm here.
So when you think about what your film could achieve in the local territories, and we would dream, or we would fast forward a bit for half a year, maybe two, what would be your wish?
I would say at least 5 years, because this will take this will be very. I mean, Africa is huge, and the malaria countries are gigantic, and I think it will be a few years now that it will take. Hopefully, we can raise enough money that we can have units like these people in South Africa are doing something called the Sandbox. It's a solar-driven small cinematic unit that they send around to rural areas with their Sandbox ambassadors. It's a fantastic idea, and they bring South African films to South African people. Who, I mean, there's all in South Africa there are 50 cinemas, and I mean it's a huge place. And now they had this idea to bring the films to the villages where there is no cinemas, and I hope that we can cooperate with them. And then for each country we have to set up a cooperation like that, and hopefully we'll find a lot of local talent and people who are interested in this and who can basically do this with the film. Ideally nobody from Europe will even be involved in this, because the film is, I will do a 60-minute version now for this, hopefully in local languages. And I'm not sure yet if it's going to be subtitles or voiceover. I don't know yet. And hopefully it will have its own life. I mean, but from the emails I get, from mostly from NGOs from all over Africa, they are very interested in working with us, because most African countries already have grassroots organizations who are doing Artemisia work on the ground. But one big problem is that it has been completely illegalized by the WHO. And in October, for example, they sent out a letter to all ministers of health in all of African countries, and again said that Artemisia is dangerous and that it shouldn't be used because, and that's a big lie, it makes coartem or artemisinin medicines resistant against malaria, which is not true. I don't know why they continue to spread this lie. A lot of scientists have proven that it's not possible that a medicinal herb, can make a parasite resistant against a chemical. But there's a lot of pressure in these countries, and if they don't follow the WHO rules, the consequences are that important medicines are not being delivered to their countries, like antibiotics or... I mean, it's a whole horrible world out there. But I hope we have a film run in German cinemas in September. That's what we are working for. And then people who listen to this can go out and see the movie, hopefully in Leipzig and Halle, and join our campaign.